All right. We're going to move on with the message now. And as the video reminds us, this is a series called Big Questions for a Big God. And we started it last week, and I'll talk more about it here in just a minute. But before we get into the series, a couple of bases I want to touch with you to make sure you are on board with this and ready for what's ahead. One's a few weeks out. Serve Together. Serve Together is our weekend where we as a church join other churches, get out of this building, and get out in the community and do service projects to remind folks about how much Jesus loves them. It is our biggest service weekend of the year, and we make sure it is by locking the doors here, turning off the lights, taking away any excuse any of us have to say, I don't have enough time to do this. And there's all sorts of projects that are right now in the works of being planned. Starting here next week, you'll get the chance to sign. I just want you to circle it on the calendar. We'll have a community worship service at the baseball field on Sunday evening, the 9th, June 8 and 9. You don't want to miss it. You also don't want to miss next weekend, Mother's Day. And we have a special treat here from the Watoto Church in Kampala, Uganda. They have a choir that's traveled all the way from Uganda and is touring here in the U.S., and we were fortunate enough to schedule him here for Mother's Day. The choir's made up of orphans that they have worked in rescuing and helping and supporting and raising. They'll be sharing their stories. They'll be performing songs. They'll be doing some dance. And let me say this to you. Number one, you don't want to miss it. Online, you may not be able to be here because you're too far away. If you're close enough to get here, this is one you're going to want to be here if possible. And you're going to want to be here right from the opening bell, because they start with a bang and it just gets better after that. It's a great performance. I've watched it. I'm so looking forward to them being here. Want to warn you, 11 o'clock folks, I told all the 9 o'clock people, I said, it'll be good enough. You're welcome to stay and come back at 11. They may get your seats. So you want to get here and make sure, don't let the 9 o'clock folks beat you out of it, but it's really going to be a good time, a special treat for moms. You're going to want to be here. Now, the series, Big Questions, Big God. He's big enough to hear our questions, and we started with a doozy last week, didn't we? Why do bad things happen to good people? I thought Pastor Chris did a great job of giving us some stuff to hang on to, and other stuff to chew on. And truth is, there's still maybe this week been some bad stuff that you're trying to figure out, why did it happen to me? I think I'm a good person. But what we're going to do today is shift to an equally big topic. What about heaven? I don't think I know, understand everything about heaven. And I will confess to you, this topic's too big for me to address by myself. So we sought out some experts, some theologians, and I asked them to do two things. I asked them to try not to be boring. We limited them to about 3 minutes, and I asked them to kind of bring their answers down to where we could understand them. So you check out the screens, and you'll get some of your questions answered about heaven from people that really know how to answer it. Check it out.
Heaven looks like a beautiful place.
Rainbow colored with glitter.
Like colors you've never seen before. Purple and pink and red and white.
Pinky purple.
Maybe I'm thinking that heaven might look like a cloud.
Clouds. Goldenish yellow clouds.
It doesn't have glass.
My closet going to be made of marshmallows.
That's funny.
It's a house where you die in.
A big, giant house.
Yay. He's going to make a big room for you and me.
Bigger than, like, the whole world.
And he's going to make a giant school for you.
Like the more people that move into heaven, the bigger God makes it.
And so the kids have
more room to play.
That's going to be awesome.
My grandma and grandpa will be in heaven.
My dad, he's getting super old. I think my dad's going to be the first one that's going to die.
Mary, I think that's the only girl.
I think I'm not going to die. I think I'm just going to be all by myself.
These animals.
I got to play with Jesus.
Ooh. Dogs. Woof,
woof. Elephant.
There's going to be a baseball team in heaven.
White Sox, I think, will be in heaven.
We could let, like, the people who play the Cubs go to heaven.
All South Siders go to heaven.
Jesus. And I was planning on giving him a high five or something. I'll miss when he does download some slow parts, because he's fast.
There's gonna be, like, stuff in heaven.
The stuff that's in the world. Even in Texas, even in California.
I would have a zip line, because then I can, like, get, like, a paper towel and then jump on it, and then it would hold on, and then I can, like, swing down it.
I will wear sparkly stuff in heaven.
A pretty dress.
TVs!
I think there's gonna be every food on earth in heaven.
Bread and not cereal.
Bread and juice and fruit,
like watermelon, maybe some strawberries.
French fries.
There's not McDonald's in heaven.
We won't even think about getting hungry. You don't have to go to grocery store at all. Just heaven has it all. They'll never get cold or sick or hungry or anything. We'll just be happy.
We're not going to fall down in heaven.
I already got it, Allie. It left all over my foot. It'll be okay.
In heaven!
And I really miss God. That's the last thing I can tell you about heaven.
That may be the best elephant imitation I've ever heard. Okay? I had somebody stop me afterwards after the 9 o'clock, and I said, hope you enjoyed the service. And they said, I'd never thought about cows and Jesus playing together. So maybe you might just say, why don't you just pray and let's go home? We got all the questions answered. But in case you didn't, in your bulletin, there are a number of scriptures, and most of the which we won't even put on the screen at all. These scriptures are for you. It'd be good for your small group to spend some time in these, or maybe in your personal devotions or family devotions. This is an effort. You see, the big question series is not about, hey, I want all the big questions answered. No, we're going to address some questions, but these are way too big of questions for us to fully answer. So there's passages there, but one of the passages is John 14. And John 14 is a passage where Jesus has just finished telling the disciples that he is going to go away, that he's going to leave them. And back to last week's message, right then, those disciples that thought they were good said, man, this is a bad thing. Why is this bad thing happening to me as a good person? And Jesus says, I don't want you to be troubled. I want to share some things with you. So it starts in verse 2 of chapter 14. And here's what he says. In my Father's house are many rooms. Now, if that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to go prepare a place for you? If I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and I'll take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I'm going. Okay? We're going to pull two or three things right off the bat from this section of scripture. And those of you who like to write down notes, you're going to be able to write down, fill in some of your blanks real quick here. So starting out with this. Heaven is real. It's real. You say, I know that. Move on to the stuff I don't know. Well, could I suggest to you that sometimes we live as if it's not? We know here is real. Here we have all sorts of bad stuff, and we sweat and we stress and we spend time focusing on here. But just like here is real, hereafter is also real. And part of this message is to remind us that there is a real heaven. And one of the passages I gave you was in Revelation 21 and 22. And that and some other passages tell us these simple things. You say, well, I don't know. They're talking about clouds, and maybe we just kind of, in our spirits, exist in some sort of a... No, heaven is real. Listen to this. Heaven has streets, rooms, walls, floors, water, food, light, dimensions, gates, and detailed descriptions. People live there. It has an owner. It has an address. It has a location. It's permanent. The Bible has 66 books, and in 54 of those books, heaven is mentioned a total between the books of 622 times. Jesus' words are recorded in 1,900 verses in your New Testament. 192 of those, 10%, talk about heaven. It's a real place. And you say, yeah, and what I want to do, I'm trying to figure out what, and they ask some questions, you know, what's it like? And as a pastor, I get asked a lot, you know, somebody will say, hey, is there fishing in heaven? I suppose if there is, every cast, you get a bite. Maybe. Is there a Starbucks in heaven? If so, all the drinks are on the house. I don't know. Are there pets in heaven? The Bible doesn't deal with pets, so I can't speak to all of them. I can speak about one pet, and Pastor Chris has asked me to not do that anymore because sometimes you get offended, so I can't mention the word cat. But I'm sure they're not there. You know, and there's so many other questions, and we say, well, is it like this or is it like that? And I spent some time living in South Carolina, and they used to have a country song there that said, well, if heaven ain't a lot like Dixie, I don't want to go there. And let me give you the second blank that helps you understand what we don't understand. Heaven is different. Heaven is different. You say, different than what? Different than anything you can think of. Look at this verse from 1 Corinthians 2:9. What no eye has seen, okay, you got that in mind? What you've never seen, what no ear has heard, what you've never heard a story telling you about it, what the heart of man has not imagined, in other words, nothing you've ever on your best dreaming night ever dreamed of, that's what God has prepared for those who love him. You say, my goodness, I don't know what that's like. No, because it's different. And the guy that walked through heaven in Revelation 21, he described it this way, and I'll read this description to you, but I want you to think about this. Imagine if your great-great-great-great-great-grandfather that lived, let's say, in the 1700s, was resurrected and dropped in the middle of Disney World and told to describe it. That's similar to what John does here. Listen to his description. He said, well, it kind of glows like clear jasper, and I've never seen anything like that before. It has 12 gates and 12 foundations. And I know you're not going to believe this, but I walked it. It's an 80-mile cube. It's as wide as it is long as it is high. And the walls are 212 feet thick, and they're made out of precious stones. I know that sounds crazy. And the gates, they're not made out of pearls. They're one single pearl. The streets, translucent, pure gold. And there's no churches, no place of worship. There's no sun. There's no lights. The gates don't ever get shut. And there's a river right through it. And there's a tree with 12 types of fruit. And I know this sounds crazy, but I spent some time there. There are no tears, no death, no pain, no crying, no night. It's all brand new, and it never ages. Now that is different than anything you and I have ever experienced. And if you and I were walking through it today, I wrote down a few other things that there's none there. There's no need for night lights, because nobody's afraid of the dark because there is no dark. There are no name tags. You won't walk into heaven, fill out, and say, hello, my name is, because you'll know each other. We'll know each other. Matter of fact, what's so cool is you won't be standing by your spouse and elbow him and say, now there he is. What's his wife's name? I can't think of her name. You're going to know everybody's name there. There's no security systems, no locks, no keys, no police, no guns. Don't know how to break it to some of you, but they're probably in the Starbucks because you need your coffee of a morning and there's no night there. So there's no morning to wake up from. There's no need to look for Kleenex because there's no crying. This sounds great. There's no rain. Okay? There's no phones. You'll check in when you walk into heaven and you won't ever check in again. And here's the best part, perhaps. There's no saying goodbye. There's going to be no need for you to look around and say, well, where's so-and-so? Well, they used to be in heaven, but they left. There's no goodbye. It's as different as it can be. And some of you ask questions because of this. One of you asked this question. Well, I've been married a couple of times. I've got kids from this marriage, and he had kids from, and when I get to heaven, so who will I be standing with, and which kids will be with me or whatever? And here's how I explain this. I don't know. Except it will be different. That will not be a concern of yours when you get to heaven. It's different. Somebody said, I buried a 13-month-old child. What a heartbreaking thing to read. How old will they be in heaven? Will they be 13 months? Will they be my age? Will they be my parents' age? Truth is, we don't know. But we do know this, it's different. And like a lot of other questions, when we step into heaven, we'll say, that really doesn't matter. Third statement, heaven is God's home. It's God's home. When the guy saw it in Revelation 21, he said these words, behold, the dwelling place, the house of God, God's house, it's come down to man. It's now setting on earth. He will dwell with them. God will dwell with who? With his people, and they shall be his people. It's God's house. Jesus said it simply this way. Hey, guys, I'm leaving. And I've told you before, Dad's got a house. I've seen it. I've been there. And it's got plenty of room. Some of you from kids ministry want me to break into big, big house right now, but we're not going to. And he says, I'm going there. I've lived there before. And Dad wants you to live there. So I'm going to go make some room for you, and I'm going to come back and get you. It's God's house. Jesus lives with him. So who else will be in heaven? Let's think about that question. Who else will be in heaven? I get asked that. Kevin, do you think so-and-so went to heaven? Kevin, we read about this person. Did so-and-so go to heaven? Kevin, I know this person, and they were a lousy person. Tell me they didn't go to heaven. We have this way of classifying and saying, well, good people, they go. My neighbor was a real sweet person. I'm sure she went. My cousin is a jerk. I'm sure he's not going. And that kind of, we just classify. And I heard a poem years ago, and I dug it back up because I thought, it applies. When you go to heaven, you will likely view many people whose presence there will be a big surprise to you, but you'd better just keep quiet and be careful not to stare because there may be a few folks who are surprised to see you there. Look at these verses. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Our citizenship is in heaven. Again, it's a real place, and there's going to be real people there. And from it, we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, we're not there yet, and we're waiting on him who's going to come back and get us. When he does, notice what it says. He will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body. You say, my goodness, my body is not ready to live in heaven for eternity. My body changes all the time. How will this happen? By the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. We were asked this question, two or three questions about cremation. Okay? Somebody says, is cremation biblical? Somebody else asked the question and said, well, if cremation happens, it kind of, my ashes get spread around. How will God pull me back together and get me to heaven? And this verse has the answer. It's his job, and it's done by his power. I promise you, wherever your molecules are, whatever condition they're in, when Jesus comes back, he'll have no trouble pulling you back together. My family's sitting right over here, some of them, and we talked about the other day, did I want to be cremated? And I told him, I said, when you bring that up, it just burns me up. And no, I didn't. No, I told him this. I said, you know what? Dad's always got an opinion, but when it comes to this, I told him, I said, I don't care. And I said, after I die, if you ask me, I'll tell you the same thing. I don't care. Because whatever you do to my body, he's going to do something different to get me ready for heaven. Do you understand? Now look at this verse. We had it in Hebrews 11:10. Strange verse. Abraham lived in tents on this earth. And he was looking forward to a city, it says, as he lived on earth. He was looking forward to a city that has foundations. You say, what? It's because he lived out of a tent. I mean, some of us like to camp. Some of us like to camp in Holiday Inn. And some of us don't like to camp at all. He camped his entire life. And he says, I'm looking forward to a city that's got foundations and walls and tangible, whose designer and builder is God. Hear me. Heaven is supposed to be a provider to you of comfort and hope when you go through tough times here on earth. Some of you know, my wife Lisa and I got the chance on our 30th anniversary, marriage anniversary, a few months ago, we went to Maui in February, okay, and didn't tell her, kept it a secret from her until we checked in at Hawaiian Airlines and the San Diego airport, okay? Some of you said, how'd you keep it a secret from Lisa? And it was simple. I didn't tell you. I didn't tell anybody, therefore you couldn't tell her. Okay? So I was carrying that secret throughout the winter. We'd get a big snowstorm, and I'd be out shoveling and running the snowblower, and it'd be cold, and I was hating it just like you do. And then I'd be out there, and I'd think, hey, I'm going to Maui. When we go to Maui, there'll be no snow there. And whenever I'd run into a tough time here, I'd get tired. I'd think, hey, I am going to relax for 2 weeks on the beach in Maui. And it made this winter better. Now, I don't know what we're going to do next winter because we can't afford to go again. But the truth is, heaven is supposed to be something when you look forward to. You say, life here is tough, but it's short. Heaven is eternal. So listen to this. When you talk about who's in heaven, look at this point. God wants everyone in heaven. God wants everyone in heaven. Invitation is like this. Hey, I want everybody to come. I want everybody in heaven. You've read the verse, John 3:16. He's not willing that any should perish. He wants everyone in heaven. He wanted everyone in heaven. The people that have died before now, he wanted them in heaven. Those of us that are alive now, he wants you in heaven. Those of you online, he wants you in heaven. It's as wide of an invitation as it can be. You say, well, and God built heaven big enough, the kid told us, for anybody can go. And some of you say this, and this gets more serious, this question. Okay, I had somebody I care about, and they took their own life. Do you think they went to heaven? It's possible in this room, some of you are just discouraged enough, you're considering taking your own life. You say, I wonder if I'll go to heaven if I do that. Well, I'm going to give you a second statement here that addresses that as much as we can at this point. And that's this. Anyone who goes to heaven gets there because of Jesus and his grace. You don't get to heaven because of what you've done. You get to heaven because of what he's done. And I'll say this without getting in the middle of anybody's argument about who goes to heaven and who not. You don't fail to go to heaven because of what you've done. It's all based on your relationship with what he's done. And we'll talk more about this in a second, but I'll say this to you. Kevin Sprinkle's preaching the same message, and we talked about it yesterday. If you think about taking your own life, what you do is this. You take, for your family, you put a question mark where there should be a period. The period should be, when you die, I know they went to heaven. And truthfully, suicide creates doubts in many folks. But whoever is there gets there because of Jesus and his grace. I wanted to write it this way. It's too important to get wrong. Your ticket to heaven is made of grace. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. You get into heaven, you won't say, well, I knew I'd make it because I was a good guy. It has nothing to do with being good. It has to do with grace. Your ticket to heaven is paid for by Jesus. You can't buy a ticket to heaven. If you're walking down the street in heaven and you run into somebody and you say, how'd you get here? Two things will be true. Their ticket will be stamped, admit one by grace, and their ticket will say it was paid for by Jesus Christ. No one gets to heaven any other way. You say, how could you say that? Look at these verses quickly. 1 John 5, he that has the Son has life. And the next part of that verse says, if you don't have the Son, you don't have life. That's an absolute statement. Look at this one from John 1:12. For those who did receive him, who? Jesus. Who believed in whose name? His name. Jesus gave them the right to become the children of God. The only one that can make you a child of God is Jesus Christ. Look at this from Acts 4:12. There's not salvation by any other. There's no other name. You want to talk about restrictive? No other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. You've got to realize this. God's invitation is this, but the way is this. There's not like this gate, this gate, this gate, and this gate, they all lead. No, the invitation's here, but the way is this. And that's why I wanted to make sure there was a question that none of you asked. And it's the most important question. And sometimes we get to talking about, well, what are the clouds made of? And will I? Somebody started asking me the other day, said, well, will we just like stand around and sing all the time? Or what will we do? This is the most important question. The most important question you answer about heaven is whether or not you're going. That's the most important question you answer. Jesus had a time where he sent out the disciples, had them go do some ministry for him by themselves, on their own for the first time. They came back and they were celebrating, they were high-fiving. It had been such a good time. They are just like, we got this done and we're so excited. We cast demons out and we saw this happen. We're so thrilled. It was the best thing we've ever done in life. And he says these words from Luke chapter 10. Right before this, he says, look, it's good to rejoice about all that, but you got to understand this. The most important thing you ever rejoice about is that your name is registered in heaven as a citizen. Picture yourself, no matter your age, picture yourself laying in a room, family gathered around you, and you're thinking your last thoughts before you leave this life. okay? You will not be thinking, man, I got Employee of the Year award that one year. That I'm just so glad as I lay here that that happened. It won't be on your mind. Man, I was on that softball team and we won the championship for our league. And it won't cross your mind. You won't be thinking, I saw my IRA went up a little bit more. I have so much money accumulated. I am so grateful. No, that won't be it at all. The only thought you'll have before you leave this life is knowing where you're going. The most important question you answer is whether or not you're going to heaven. Online, sometimes you sit there and you don't have the... I'm telling you, the most important question you answer is whether or not you're going to heaven. And there's two statements that I want to make, challenges to everyone here, everyone online. Kevin's making the same thing at North Campus, so you don't say, man, I should have gone there. It'd been a little easier. Nope. Okay? Matter of fact, I had somebody earlier that came up and found out my name. They had thought I was Kevin Sprinkle for a long time until they saw a picture of Kevin Sprinkle and realized they had the wrong. So for those of you that know, Kevin Sprinkle is North Kevin, and I'm South Kevin. This is Kevin with hair. That's Kevin without hair, okay? So just letting you know. But two statements. I don't take any joy in this statement, but got to say it. I borrowed it from a friend of mine that says it in every funeral he preaches. Don't miss heaven because you can. You say, well, that's not a lot of fun. Let's go back to the kid video. No, it's truth. Everyone in this room, you can miss heaven. Everybody online, no matter where you watch, you say, well, I watch every week. You can watch every week and miss heaven. You can come live here and miss heaven. You can be married to somebody that's going to heaven and you can miss it. You can have kids that love Jesus and they're going to heaven and you won't join them. It can happen. Revelation chapter 20. Group of people standing before God. And it says, anyone whose name was not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I stopped the verse there. You know what the next part of the verse says? What says they went to heaven? Nope. Where'd they go? Well, that's another message. But you can miss heaven. Matthew 5, I believe it is, you can miss heaven. Matthew 25, you can miss heaven. Not everybody, there used to be a song, not everybody talking about heaven is necessarily going there. You can miss heaven. And here's the better verse, better point. Don't miss heaven because you don't have to. See, some of you say, I know I'm going to miss heaven because I've done this. I know I'm going to miss heaven because I've messed up here. I know I'm going to miss heaven because... Nope, you don't have to miss heaven. Here's what's true. Romans 10, 13. Everyone that calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Hear me. Jesus, when it comes to this, is batting 1,000%. I joke with the families backstage, the family that just was out here with me, the two we had at 9 o'clock. I tell them to say, here's what we're going to do. We're going to walk out here. We're going to do these things. I'm going to pray. And I said, then I'm going to ask them to applaud for you. And I told the families this morning, guess what? So far, every time I ask somebody to applaud, the church has applauded. There's not been anybody missed yet. So you can kind of relax. They're probably going to applaud. Here's what's true. You call on the name of Jesus, you will be saved and go to heaven. He never misses that call. So here's what's in this service this morning. In this room, you're going to walk out of here either on your way to heaven or not. And you don't have to be or not.